Sermon title today is A New Creation. And we could spend all morning talking about God's creation, but the creation that we want to talk about, there's two different creations that I want to mention today, and that's the creation of you as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, that old things have passed away and all things have become new because you are a new creation in Christ Jesus, and the creation of the church and the birth of the church at the day of Pentecost. First, are you today a new creation in Christ Jesus? Have you been born again, not of the flesh, but of the Spirit? Not by the will of man, but by the will of God. If Jesus is the one leading you in your life today, is the Holy Spirit guiding your life in what you do and the decisions that you make, in what you say and how you respond? And is the power of God active in your life today, transforming you into the very image of Jesus? Does that draw a picture of your life, yes or no, today? And let's start from the beginning. Let's go to John chapter 3 and verse 3. A scripture that so many of us are very, very familiar with, but in John chapter 3 and verse 3, we see that Jesus is going to speak to a religious leader of the day by the name of Nicodemus. And in verse 3, he says, Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Everyone here today in this auditorium has been born once. It was a physical birth, but have you been born again? Listen to what Jesus tells the religious leader in verse 3 through 8. Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born again when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" And Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit." Yes, you have been born physically, but to become a part of the kingdom of God, you must be reborn spiritually. This spiritual birthing process takes place when you make a heartfelt confession of faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior in your life. Now turn with me to Romans chapter 10 and verse 8. Romans chapter 10 and verse 8. We're just giving you some background before we move forward today. So Romans chapter 10 and verse 8, it says, and what does it say? "The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Hallelujah. It's a miracle that takes place in your life, that your spirit is born again, not by the power of man, but by the power of God. Yes, we can know if this event has taken place in our life. Each and every one of us can know if we know Jesus as our Lord and Savior, that we are destined for heaven to walk on the streets of gold. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 14. Romans 8 and verse 14. It says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons," and I will add, "daughters of God. For if you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God." So yes, you can know if you're a child of God. And then it goes on to say in verse 17, "And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together." His Spirit bears witness with our spirit, that we are children of God. So what does this new person in Christ look like? What does this new person that has been born again from above, not from below, but from above, not by man, but by God, what does that person look like? Well, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. So 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. And verse 17 says this, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. When you accept Christ by faith, you are born again by God. You have been born again into a world where the Spirit rules. Now listen to me. You have been born into a world where the Spirit rules. My life, I have accepted Jesus. He is my Lord and Savior. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. God is now in control of my life, and I am not. The Apostle Paul says, I have crucified the flesh. My life is governed by God. I am led by the Spirit. Christ is my guide. Now, if you go to First Corinthians 6, verse 19 and 20 tells us we were bought for a price. We are not our own. Now we belong to Him. Now we belong to the Lord Jesus. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, it says, old things have passed away. The old has passed away. My old way of living. When you accepted Jesus, did you notice there was a change in your living? There was a change in your desires. It was a change in your want-tos. The old walk in life. My old decision-making process was gone because now I have submitted to Christ. Galatians chapter 5 tells us we have a decision to make. Are we going to walk in the Spirit or are we going to walk in the flesh? You could probably answer that question tomorrow or ask yourself that question tomorrow when you run into a problem, when somebody speaks ill of you, when somebody says something that is hurtful you. You just speak in your heart, okay, Lord, I've got a decision to make here. Am I going to walk in the flesh and punch them out, or am I going to walk in the Spirit and let God rule? Let God rule. Let Him make the decision-making process a lot easier, because all of a sudden I take myself out of the way and now I'm a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says in Romans 6:6, our old nature was crucified. If the world can't see, listen to me, if the world can't see a difference between those that are in the church and those that are not in the church, Houston, we have a problem. And that's the church that we find in America today. You can't find the difference, and you can't see the difference between those that are sitting in the pews and those that are going to the ball game, those that are going to the races. There is no difference in them. There has always been a difference because we have been born again. We walk by the Spirit. We do not walk by the flesh. We make our decisions by the Spirit. We are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you're a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, you will look different than the world looks. You will look different. What year did it happen that the church no longer had an impact on the world around it? What year was that? Well, I can't tell you what year it was. But it was when the church stopped walking in the anointing and the direct leadership of Christ through the Holy Spirit. That is when it happened. That is when it happened. This world, we got to be more woke. We got to be more receiving. We got to be more accepting. Well, brother and sister, there is nobody that is more accepting than the church. There is nobody that is more receiving than the church. Everybody is welcome inside this church. Everybody is welcome to come and worship with us on any given Sunday. But that doesn't mean we're going to agree with their lifestyle. That doesn't mean we're going to agree with the things that they are doing. Because the Lord Jesus Christ, there has never been a church. There has never been a church that did not cause conflict. Because the church, the Bible, causes conflict. Every time I read it, I'm conflicted. Every time I read it, there's something I need to change in my life. Every time I read it, there's something else I need to do in my lifestyle or my thinking or my reactions, all these different things. There is going to be conflict. And if a church thinks you can have a church without any conflict, you're going to soon die. Because if you have a church that has no conflict with the world, then you're not standing on the Word of God. You're walking the way of the world and not the truth of the Scripture today. Now turn with me to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. In Matthew chapter 16, we go to verse 13. Amazing scripture. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do men say that I am, the Son of Man?" And almost every Bible will say this is the inescapable question. Everybody has to answer this question sometime in their life. Who is Jesus to you? Is Jesus just a teacher? Is Jesus just a wise person? Or is Jesus the very Son of the living God, and I must accept him as my Lord and Savior, that he was a sacrifice to end all others? He says, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" In verse 14, it says, they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." And he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "You art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I will say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Did you catch it in verse 18? "I will build my church." He didn't say he was going to build your church. He said, "I'm going to build my church. I will build my church." Leo and Carol did not build Crossroads Gospel Church. Dennis Myers did not build Crossroads Church. Jason did not build Crossroads Gospel Church. This is a church that God has built. It's founded on the Word of the Lord Jesus Christ. And because it's founded on the Word of the Lord Jesus Christ, why do you think that we're growing? Why do you think that we're doing and accomplishing what we're doing in the community? Because we're believing in the Word, we're standing on the Word, we're acting on the Word, and we're promoting the Word. Hallelujah. It's by the Word that people are set free. The church is not a democracy. It's a theocracy. It is governed by God. Christ is ahead, his church. You and me are led by a spirit. A church that is governed by God, led by the Holy Spirit, the gates of hell will not be able to prevail against it. What does this church look like? Well, look at verse 15 and 16. It gives you the example. In verse 15, it says, he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ. You are the Messiah. You are the anointed one. You are the one that is prophesied in the Scriptures. You are the one that was going to come and unite us into the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God." It's a church that believes that preaching, that preaches, that proclaims that Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah, the very Son of God. That's a church that hell will not prevail against. One that Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah, the very Son of the living God. That's what we will do at Crossroads until the Lord Jesus returns. We will proclaim that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Remember when we were 5 years in the ministry? And I said, "Father, I just don't see this going anywhere." You guys all heard this story. The Lord called Leo and Carol to start a church in this area, and we started at Kinfolks. And when we started there, and we grew a little bit, then we went to the lodge. We were about 5 years in. We were averaging 30, 35 people, 40 people, year after year after year. And I finally said, "Lord, I just don't see this happening. I just don't see this going anywhere." And what did the Lord say to do? Did he say, "I want you to go out and hire a band? I want you to appeal more to the world? Do this or do that?" He said, "Keep preaching and they will come. Keep preaching and they will come." Why did he say that? Because the gates of hell cannot and will not prevail against the truth of God's Word. Hallelujah.
It will not prevail. Carol and I went down to La Villa, and we met with those people down at La Villa. Probably 10 at the most in that church. And they said, well, how many do you have at your church? I said, oh, we've been running 80 or 90. And they're just shaking their head because that's discouraging to them. But I said, you must not be discouraged. It's not because of Leo. It's not because of Carol. It's not because of anybody in there. It's because of the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And you got to hang on to that. You got to believe that. I believe that any church that we pastor and every church that we have pastored has always grown. Why? Because we're so special? I don't think so. It's because of the power of God and because you're preaching His Word. And when you preach His Word, it brings conflict in people's lives to come to know Jesus. Hallelujah, I'm going to run out of breath. We've been having trouble with the video equipment today, and Leo said, don't move around very much because I'll lose you. That's kind of hard for me not to do. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Hallelujah. God is so good. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Many times we go to this verse, and probably there's a lot of you that probably have this verse of Scripture memorized. But there's something in verse 15 that we kind of skip over that's very important. So if we go back to verse 15, it says this, and he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for Him who died for them and rose again. The question is for us today, who are you living for? Are you only living for your entertainment and for your satisfaction? Then you're missing something. As a born-again Christian, it's not my flesh that's supposed to be calling the shots any longer, but the Spirit of God living in me because I am a new creation in Christ. Too many churches today are being led by the flesh instead of the Spirit. We all know that. We all have to be careful of that. Galatians chapter 5 tells us that you make the decision. As council members, as pastors, as elders in the church, whoever is leading, you need to make sure you're not leading the church, but you're making sure that God is leading the church. And you always have to keep that before the Lord. Lord, keep me humble. Keep me without pride. I want to do what you want, not what I want to do. I want your will to be done. But we have so many churches that they think, well, if we had a pastor with more of an education. I'm probably one of the dumbest pastors you'll ever run into in your whole entire life. But I sense that when you come here, you feel the presence of God. You know that God is touching my life, and I'm sending the word back out to you. I know that you feel that and you sense that, but so many churches say, well, if we had a psychologist on board, it would do us, that's the kind of pastor we need. We need one that's got a lot of education, maybe one that's really great in administration, maybe one that's really great in organization skills, all these different things. And what do you really need? You need somebody that is submitted to God under the following and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. That's what the church needs, because Christ needs to be leading your church, not man anyway. Sometimes we get that so much out of we get so much confusion out of that. Too many churches are being led by the flesh instead of the Spirit. Why? Because the church body is walking in the flesh and not in the Spirit. Hello, church. The leadership is only following what the people in the church are calling for. Are you walking in the Spirit today? Every day in our individual lives, in our families' lives, in our church lives, we must make that conscientious decision. I will walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. Christ, lead my life. Holy Spirit, guide my life. Father, give me the power to obey you. The church became a new creation on the day of Pentecost. The Spirit of God was no longer isolated to a place, but in the hearts and the lives of the believers. We become the temple of the Holy Spirit. Number two, you became a new creation in Christ the day you accepted Christ. Are you a new creation today? Have you been born again? We've asked all these questions today, and we already read in the Scripture that you can know because His Spirit bears witness with your spirit. If you have the Spirit of God in you, you know because His Spirit is bearing witness with the Spirit of God that is in you that you are a child of God. He's not bearing witness with the child of flesh or the spirit of flesh. He's bearing witness with the Spirit of God that is in you that He put in you by a miraculous creation. You are a miracle. I want everybody to walk out of here today and say, my gosh, I didn't think I was ever a miracle. I read about miracles. I've watched them on TV. I've even read about them in books, but I didn't think I was a miracle. Everyone that's sitting here today that knows Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, you are a miracle of God. Amen. Because you didn't put that Spirit in you all by yourself, but the power of God did. Do you know Jesus? Do you know Him intimately? Are you a new creation? Before you leave this place, make that decision. Today, I'm going to walk out of here. I want to be a miracle too. I don't want to be left behind. I want to be a miracle just like everybody else. I want to be a new creation in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we come before You today in the name of the Lord Jesus. We thank You for Your word. Oh, Father, we rejoice in Your word. We praise You for Your word. We thank You, Father. It guides, it leads, it directs, and we praise You forevermore. And I pray that, Father, in only a way that You can, that Your Holy Spirit would sweep over this place right now. And if there's one that has not made a decision of Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that right now, at this moment, Your Spirit would speak to their heart. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I believe with all of my heart, and in that instant, He said to your heart, you need to receive Me. You need to receive Me. You need to accept My Son as your Lord and Savior. People don't leave this place without knowing Jesus. You'd stand with me today. Oh. I'm going to ask Dennis if he would dismiss us in prayer today.
Glory and honor and praise as we go today in Jesus' name.